Hi, and welcome to Money Files. I'm Keena Newell from Wealth Over Now. I work every day with professional women and solopreneurs to help them get out of financial overwhelm and shame so they can experience more flexibility and ease with their finances. Are you ready to gain confidence and learn to manage your finances intentionally? Tune in and grab financial tips that will help you master the way you think about and manage your finances. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Money Files. So we're in the middle of an under-earning series, and today I want to talk to you a little bit about auditing your money team. And so since we're specifically talking about earning, and if I'm talking about under-earning, I am clearly talking to you about earning more money, right? And I want you to audit your money team through the lens of earning more. And I want us to be thinking about who is on our money team. If you want to hear the full breakdown of how I talk about a money team, go and listen to episode 95 on how to build your money team. But what I recognize, and I want you to recognize, is we have thoughts about money, and those thoughts are created by those around us. Even the people around you that you see that you're like, oh my goodness, like, they're making $1 million a year, or like they just, you know, bought this really nice house, or they're so good with investing, or whatever that is. Like, those people have a money team, and they may not call it a money team, but there are beliefs that they have. There are people that they connect with that have helped them believe things that you don't believe about your finances. And like in this series, we're talking about under-earning. And when you hear about people that may be younger than you, they may be the same age as you, they may be older than you, wherever that is, like when you hear about people and where they are in terms of their career and you admire them, they have different thoughts than you. That is the simplest difference in between where you are right now and where you desire to go, is that they simply have different thoughts. They've been exposed to different things. And I, like, given my experience and where I come from in terms of just like growing up, and I think the most pivotal experience that I think about is college, believe it or not. But I was in education. I talked to you a little bit on the last podcast about how being in the nonprofit space, you can see your, like, it is easy to fall into this under-earning mentality. One of the things that I think was a blessing for me is that I actually have a major in management and finance, right? And I did not set out to become a teacher. I became a teacher because it ended up being like a passion project and a passion calling. In my senior year of college, I was about to say high school, but that's not true. But in my senior year of college, I had a couple of goals. I was either gonna go get my MBA / MHA, I was going to get a job, or I was going to join Teach for America. So like, those are all the irons that I had in the fire, and they were connected to goals that I wanted to pursue. And like with Teach for America was really big for me because somewhere in college, I went to a conference, they did a presentation. I was like, oh my goodness, that's like a great opportunity to give back. And I value community. So it was like, you know, it could be this 2-year opportunity, and then I'm going to go do whatever I want. But through the transition and how I set myself up my senior year, I was actively interviewing for jobs in the oil and gas industry. I'm from Oklahoma, and that's the only thing you do in Oklahoma is some kind of way you fall into working for like Baker Hughes, Centrilift, ConocoPhillips. Like that's where my friends ended up working in oil and gas. And so I was interviewing for these oil and gas companies, and y'all, when I would go out and interview, they would give you a per diem, they paid for your flight, they paid for your hotel. Like, they were whining and dining you in effort to get you to come work at their company, right? And so they, like, me being in the world of business and not being in what I will call a broke mindset profession, let me know how, like, one level of how you can be treated. And even when I was actually looking at the consortium fellowship when I was graduating, and I went to like a couple of different universities to look at their MBA programs, but they were also wining and dining. Like, my flights were covered, my stay was covered. You know, like, you had these weekends on the college campus where you were doing some work as though you were an MBA student, but like, they were really wining and dining you in order to get you to say yes to like applying to their institution. So basically, I developed this wine or dine mindset, like, this is how I need to be treated, right? And I think that that served me really well, even as I went into the educational space. Like, I think I accepted also that there were some limitations to how much I could potentially earn, but it also left a door of curiosity where, yeah, I went to St. Louis and I started making, I think it was, I always say like 30 or 33. I can't remember exactly where I landed, but it was one of those numbers. It doesn't matter if it was 30 or 33, because it was the same small number. It was the same small number, but I had accepted a job in the oil and gas industry that was making over $50,000 a year. And you know, when you're 21, that's a lot of money. Like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be so rich, which, you know, that's not really true. But like, there was a $20,000 difference, basically a whole other teacher's salary in between me going into like the oil and gas industry and me going into education. And I oftentimes just think back to that experience in my life, and I'm thankful for that experience in my life, because it let me know, like, for myself, I guess some of you could be thinking right now, well, Kina, you were under earning and, you know, or making less, like, you gave up $20,000. It was an intentional decision, guys. It was an intentional decision in order to be able to pursue something that I was passionate about. But sure enough, like, I stayed in education in St. Louis for 2 years. Y'all, the number one thing I knew I needed to do was to make more money. Like, after those 2 years, I was like, I cannot stay in St. Louis and just be making like $38,000 a year. Like, I have goals and I won't accept that for myself. And I started interviewing and asking for more money. And here's where it comes back to this whining and dining. I had interviewed at a couple charter schools. One of the charter schools, they got the wine or dine memo, and like, they paid for per diem, they paid for the hotel and everything to have us come out and interview. And I say us because it was me and one of my other girlfriends. We went out there to interview for a school in New York. And then one of my friends, she came out to DC to interview, and she's like, oh, Lukina, you'll probably like this school. So I remember applying, and y'all, they weren't trying to help me. Like, they weren't trying to pay for my plane ticket. They weren't trying to do anything. I said, oh, I can't come, period. Like, I basically was like, I could do bad all by myself. Like, I don't need to come and spend money to interview for you guys, because I knew my value, right? Like, you need me as a teacher. And God knows I still needed help as a teacher. I had taught for 2 years. But like, I just remember, like, that was the beginning of the negotiation process. And the boss that I told you guys in my last episode that, you know, I told him, like, why would I go from making $80,000 a year to basically making a few thousand dollars more as a vice principal, was the same boss that hired me several years before. And he already knew my temperament. So that's why it's also, I mean, like, culture is so, so important in the workplace, and to be able to work with people who support you and have your back. Like, that's definitely invaluable. But I know before I went to actually come and fly out here and apply for the role, I was like, hey, if you guys aren't like making sure that my stay is covered and that I have a hotel, like, I can't come out to DC and interview. And I think that that showed my boss how to treat me. Just me being able to hold my ground. And going back to this component of like, I was managing, even though I wasn't making that much money, I was managing my money well enough that like, I wasn't worried about hearing a no. I also had a belief in my ability as a teacher. Like, I would find a job. People need me. I'm good. And so even within a sector where we talk about people being underpaid, I was still negotiating. I was still very mindful of how I was allowing people to treat me when I thought about my finances. And I mean, as the story goes, I ended up coming out here to DC and I started making more money. Granted, you know, cost of living and there were some other pieces that changed, but overall, it was a really good financial move for me to come to DC at the time. I did make more money and I was able to position myself differently, especially once I decided that I was staying in education and all those MBA programs I was never going to attend. So I just want to give you, I want to give you that perspective because I know what it's like to earn money. Like, I think that maybe you could say like, but Kina, now, you know, you're a business owner. No. Like I remember and I know the W-2 experience because I've been there along with you. And I've had multiple opportunities to have conversations about how much money I make. And there's been some pivotal things that I did while I was still employed by someone to make sure that like I was getting what I wanted, right? And like something wasn't just happening to me. Like I said, I did take a pay cut when I decided to become a teacher and decided not to take an oil and gas job, but it wasn't because I had thoughts about my ability to earn. Okay. So that's one of the differences. But where I want to dive in with you today and you thinking about, okay, I hear you, Kina, I'm under earning and I want to shift where I am. I need you to think about and audit your money team. And we all have a money team. Like in my life, I have people that I go to for different things. So in this case, we're going to look at who are we going to when we are thinking about our earning potential, when we're thinking about how much money we want to make, when we're thinking about the jobs we want to apply for, when we're thinking about putting our resume together, when we're thinking about networking, right? Like those are some of the things that go into earning more money. And so I want you to take an active approach to think about who's on your team. And I would suggest like that you actually have some pen and paper out and you name these people for yourself. And it doesn't even have to be like, it's great if it's multiple people, but if it's just a person, that's okay too. But the first thing I want you to do is I want you to identify at least one person that you have when it comes to your career and like your earning potential who will call you out when you're playing small. I just signed a new client and I remember on her consult, I was like, you know, you're under earning, right? And sometimes I really can't help myself, guys. I try to bite my tongue, but she was telling me what she was doing. I was like, you're under earning. Like, if your friends aren't telling you that, then you need to get new friends. And so on our first call, she actually came back to me and she was like, okay, I like told one of my friends about what you said in our consult. And like, she is challenging me in this area. And she also came to our first call being like, you know what? I know that I want to apply to some chief of staff positions. And like, that's where I want to go next when I think about career and where I desire to be professionally. But like, she clearly has someone in her life who will call her out on playing small. And sometimes like, you know, the people that'll call you out on playing small, they might be waiting for permission to call you out. And so this is where, when I'm having you identify your money team, I want you to identify people that you feel safe with so you can also share with them your goals about wanting to earn more. Because as you share your goals with them, I want you to be creating that opportunity for them to be like, oh my goodness, girl, I have been waiting. I've been waiting for you to say this, right? Because like, I can guarantee you have people in your life that they know that you're playing small when it comes to where you are professionally. And I think the thing that I love about like people that do this for me is they know me fairly intimately and they can just like say, you know, they can call me out lovingly and then I get to choose what I want to do with it. Right. And this even shows up, you know, in business when I've had to raise my prices or to set goals around my revenue where someone can lovingly call me out and they're going to tell me that I'm playing small. But specifically with you as a W-2 employee, like I want you to at least have one person that you know who will call you out, especially when you extend that invitation, where they'll call you out on playing small. Because like, I want that person for you to be able to enroll that person to be like, hey, Kina said I got to go for no's this year. And so I want you to call me out if you know that I'm not doing what I said I wanted to be able to do this quarter in terms of earning more this year. Like, please call me out. Okay. So that's the first person. Like, make sure that we cut out the people that are okay with what you make. And when I say that, that like they may say things to you that feed into your mindset about your ability to earn more money, and they confirm your biases that you have about your ability to earn. And so like, those are the people that we got to cut off your team. Like, you can't talk to them, not about this area of your life, right? You can go and have other conversations with them, but you cannot have this conversation about earning more money, because they're not going to pour into you in the way that we need them to pour into you, or hold you accountable in the way that we need them to hold you accountable. Also, second thing in terms of auditing your money team, I want you to make sure that you have a book or you have a podcast for this quarter that you are invested in, okay? That is about earning more money. I have a couple of podcast episodes that I talked about negotiating salary and changing careers. I'll make sure that those are linked into the show notes. So if you're new here, or maybe you just need to refresh because maybe you lost sight of your goal, but my client, Kim, and one of my friends, Shamika, like, just have some phenomenal thoughts about being able to increase your income and helping you really position yourself. And especially like, if you are a woman listening to my podcast, like, I really want you to listen to them, because I think so many times within the space where we talk about earning more, women think about themselves differently than men think about themselves. And I'm gonna have to get someone else on here to talk to you guys as well about women that make money. Like, there are, you know, I don't bite my tongue at times when it comes to talking about finances, but I have been able to have conversations with friends that I've made, especially coaches that came out of careers and then started coaching. But to hear women talking about making, you know, 150, 170, 180, 200,000, and being, you know, in their early 30s, being in their mid 30s, some of them even being in their late 20s. And so like, those are the things that I want you to be listening for, because those are examples for you of what's possible. And we need your brain to see those examples, because right now you're probably so consumed with all of the counter examples that say you can't make money. So you can find a book, you can find a podcast that really helps encourage and feed your earning potential. Or even like, if you are someone where you're like, Kina, you don't understand, I really am tapped out at where I can earn, but maybe your thoughts about earning more are more so focused on your desire to create like a side hustle or a business, right? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. If you're like, listen, Kina, I got my main job, it pays me 150, and I wanna get a side hustle that's going to pay me another $100,000 a year. I am okay with that too, okay? But even when it comes to your business or your side hustle that you're trying to start, I want you to make sure that you have people feeding you and in your ear and thinking about books that will inspire you. I want you to have people that are encouraging you when it comes to your pricing, when it comes to setting revenue goals. Like, we need to feed that part of your brain if the goal is to be able to start a side hustle or to become a business owner. And so maybe you're thinking about like, I'm going to work full-time and I'm going to have a part-time business, or your full-time job might give you the space to feel like it's a part-time thing and then be able to pour into having a full-time like business opportunity. As I'm talking about this, I'm thinking about, if you listen to my client Lene's story, when she started working with me, she was working full-time in the school system. And then she actually went down to part-time hours and she was able to lean more into the business that she had started. And that gave her an opportunity to start earning more and increase her earning potential. But like, her regular role that she had, being able to lean in and do part-time in education, like, it kept healthcare secure. It was making sure that she had 401k benefits. Like, there was a lot of other things that we thought really strategically about and how she wanted to be able to do both. But like, she's been able to build time freedom for herself because of how she's thought about her full-time role and her business. So a book or a podcast on the last episode, and I'll relink them, but I talked about like Jen Sincero, You're a Badass at Making Money, and then Overcoming Under-Earning. Like, those are two books that they have exercises in them that you can do, and really thinking about how do you want to use new knowledge and new information to inspire you to really overcome under-earning in your own life. And then the last person that I want to make sure you have on your team as you transition from under-earning is I want you to have an inspirer, like someone who gives you inspiration. You don't even need to know this person in real life, okay? It could be somebody you saw on the internet, an article you read, whatever. But someone who inspires you that maybe they've built a six-figure business or they tripled their salary in the last 3 years. Like my client, Kim, that I'm telling you about, if you follow her online, her Instagram handle is Your Work Inspires. But this woman, like when she is on it when she is talking about negotiating and the moves that she's made strategically in her professional career. Like if I was still in the W-2 world, like she would be my inspirer because of the fact of just how she has conversations, I know, with her employer about being compensated for the value that she adds to her company. She is not scared to change jobs. Like, she is what I see as being fearless, right? And so I would use her as my person that inspires me. And the reason that you need an inspirer is because I want you to think about, like, when you encounter challenges to keeping up the momentum when you're thinking about overcoming your own under-earning, I want you to be able to approach situations from your inspirer lens. And I want you to think about, like, how do you think they would approach getting a no? How do you think they would approach applying for jobs from week to week? How do you think they would approach networking? How do you think they would approach negotiating a salary? How do you think they would approach talking about pricing for, like, if you're in the side hustle space? Like, how would they approach pricing? And just, like, you don't need to know their real answer, but just think about how their answer might differ in comparison to how you talk to yourself right now. And so your money team, with those three angles on your money team, they are going to help you build a healthy mindset around overcoming under-earning, okay? So you're going to make sure that you have at least one person who calls you out when you play small. You're also going to have a book or a podcast where you are taking in new information and you are learning new things, or you're going through exercises that are going to help you break down some of the mindset that you have about earning. And then lastly, you're going to make sure that you have someone who's an inspirer and really, like, they're kind of your role model. Even if you don't know them, put that person in your life and to really think about approaching problems from their point of view and their lens. So thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to take this work deeper, like apply to work with me, earning more money is like one of the steps to drama-free spending. And I want to make sure that my clients, like, I want you to earn more money because I always love people just earning more money, but it's tied to the goals you want to achieve. I don't just want you to earn more money for the sake of earning more money. I want you to know the exact amount of money you want to earn and why. I love that for my clients that have worked with me. I'm thinking about my client Ellie. She got like a $30,000 pay raise. That $30,000 pay raise is turning into a $5 million opportunity for her because of the fact that her pay raise allowed her to fully contribute to her 401k. She's in her late 20s. She's going to go to fully contributing to her 401k. And that one decision is literally going to turn into $5 million by the time she's in her 60s. And so earning, I'm not just telling you to earn more money just because I want to tell you to earn more money. That's not it. Although that's okay too. But being really clear on how much you want to earn and the impact on your life and being able to shift your literal legacy is why it's so important to me. And I want you to be able to shoot for numbers that scare you because you're going to learn somewhere and it's going to be so much bigger than you ever expected. So if you want to take this work deeper, apply to work with me. And like, budgeting fits in here, because when we know all of our numbers, we really get to go through and we get to run down and say, like, what's the next number and why? So thank you so much for tuning in. All of the things that I talked about should be linked in the show notes. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Have a good one. Thank you so much for listening to Money Files. If you're ready to take the next step to reach your financial goals, head to www.wealthofrenal.com/appointment and let's get started.